If you've ever felt eaten up by anxiety, you'll identify with what Kathy shared.
There's a verse in Psalm 94, and it says, "When my anxious thoughts consume me, thy consolations delight my soul." And to me, consolation is what he says, what he promises.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Adorn. For July 27th, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh. In most cases, when Nancy teaches for Revive Our Hearts, she does it in front of a studio audience. In fact, side note, members of our monthly partner team are invited to watch the live stream of her recording sessions from anywhere in the world. So, if you're one of our monthly partners, watch your exclusive partner portal for all those notifications. For those in the room listening to Nancy, there's usually an opportunity to respond and to share what God has been showing them from His Word. Today, we'll hear some of that sharing. For the past several weeks, Nancy's been in the book of Habakkuk. Hasn't it been a rich study? Well, now, as part of that series, we'll hear Nancy talking with Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, Maria Johnson, and Kathy Helvey, who's now home with the Lord. They were part of the studio audience throughout the whole series. Here's Nancy to begin.
What were some of the takeaway points that really stood out to you in this series?
Okay, well, I have to tell you the first thing that really, as I was, first of all, reading through the book of Habakkuk, and then during this study, on the day, I think the beginning of chapter 2, where you started talking about Habakkuk climbing into the watchtower to wait for God, I had this vision of myself trying to climb the tower and all these little people grabbing my ankles and saying, "But Mom, wait. I have a bunch of children. And literally, I sat there thinking, okay, would I be able to get up in that watchtower and say, "I'm going to sit here till God speaks"? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I could maybe do that like at 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, it would be quiet enough. But it was just almost comical as I thought about myself trying to get in that posture.
Of listening to the Lord and waiting on Him.
Of being able to just say, "I'm going to sit here till God answers." You know, I thought, okay, I know God has a way for me to do this, but it was pretty comical picture.
So as a mom, how do you get alone with the Lord? How do you get still and quiet and let Him speak to you when you've got children pulling?
Well, for me, literally, it is sometimes 2 or 3 in the morning when it's finally still and quiet. And I know there's a good chance that nobody's going to be waking up for a while, and that's when I can get to Him. Other times, especially now, we recently bought bicycles again, and I just get on my bicycle with my little Bible and take off for a few minutes when it's safe. And I've discovered that I can hear from the Lord a whole lot while I'm pedaling around the block for a few minutes, away from the laundry, away from my messy kitchen or school books or the crisis of the moment. Just helps me to refocus. And even I found that even just a few minutes in the midst of my day makes a huge difference.
And any of you feel free to jump in, anything along this line that you've experienced? I know, Kim, you have very busy days, and we were just talking about you're at a season of life where your days are so full. How do you get that time to just really listen to the Lord?
I have to have that time. That's how I get that time, because the Lord taught me several years ago that if I did not meet with Him first, that that's my sustenance. That's the way, the only way that I can operate is by meeting with Him first thing. And I know Holly's is late at night. For me, I have to meet with the Lord first thing in the morning. I've told
my friends. Actually, see, mine's earlier in the morning than
yours.
Yeah,
right. So. Mine's just about 2 hours later than yours. But I've told my friends, you don't want to be around me until I've met with the Lord, because He needs to deal with me first thing in the morning. But really, that is the sweetest time for me of my day, to really go to Him. Lay out my heart before Him and just seek Him, ask Him, what in my heart do you need to deal with? How do I need to surrender to you? And then to intercede for others that he's bringing to my heart and mind as I'm just seeking him before I get into a time in the Word. It's just a place that I reached. You know, several years ago, I'm a pastor's wife. And the first 10 years probably of being a pastor's wife, I had a quiet time with the Lord, pretty typical of probably most Christians. I would do it one day. I would go another day. I remember pulling out a journal as we were moving from one pastorate to another. And going through the moving boxes, I pulled out one of my spiritual journals. And I remember thumbing through it and saying, oh, wow, this is good. The Lord met with me here October 24th. That's a good word. That's interesting. And I go to the next day, October 25th, and then I go, November 24th. What happened between October 25th? The Lord really used that to convict me that there were several days there. And all through that journal, I could tell it was very sporadic, my times of meeting with the Lord, that I started to wonder, Father, what did you want to speak to me on those days when I didn't stop and meet with you? What did you want to teach me that I missed out on? And that wasn't enough to convict me. It took about a year later, I guess. We were living in Indiana at the time. I was traveling to Indianapolis to minister to someone in the hospital. And as I'm driving along, just going my merry way to minister for God, the Holy Spirit so faithfully spoke to me and said, you're going to minister to someone, but you did not meet with me this morning. You didn't seek my face first. And me, in my prideful, arrogant, flippant way, said, oh, yeah, I'm meeting with you, God. I'm listening to Adrian Rogers right now on the radio. And he very clearly and faithfully spoke to me and said, no, you did not seek my face this morning. You did not meet with me this morning. God used that and a time of real brokenness in my life to bring me to a place. And I'm so thankful he did, to bring me to a place where and I know it's a serious thing to make a vow to the Lord, but I think that I'm such a spoiled brat that I have to take that serious of measures in order to follow through. And that I said, I promised my Father that I would never, never, never go another day again without first meeting with him and letting him deal with my heart and break me. And so I so relate to what Holly's saying, because there's so much in our lives that gets so hectic, and with children, with responsibilities, with people needing to be ministered to, we can let all of those things crowd out the most important thing. And I'm so thankful for Luke 10 and the example of Mary, who, yes, there was a lot of busyness going on. Martha was doing a lot of good things, a lot of needful things. Those men needed to eat, but Mary was doing the most important thing. For me, I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, but for me, God has shown me that I must begin that in the first time of the day.
For me, it's a little bit different because life isn't always so ordered, you know, if you're up all night with a sick child and such. And I love the morning. That's my very most favorite, you know, before the sun is up time. Just go outside with a cup of coffee, if even wrapped in a blanket, and there's the stars, and it's you and the Lord. And that's my favorite. But with four children and six grandchildren and my husband's work schedule, you know, I can't always do that 5 o'clock or 4:30 or 6 a.m., and not when you've been up 2 or 3 hours with a sick child or grandchild or something. So what the Lord began showing me, because I was very consistent with that morning quiet time, and I became proud in that. And what the Lord began to show me was from Psalm 16:11, is in his presence is fullness of joy, and began showing me that I had to live every moment in his presence, every moment. And so whether it's with a sick child or helping my married kids with their children or a neighbor, church, whatever it may be, whatever the need is, it's in that moment to realize God is there and that He has made provision for His glory in whatever the circumstance is. And that's not to say, you know, time with the Lord and His Word isn't important, but it's even bigger than that. Where can we go from His presence? Nowhere. And so whether it's, you know, I can remember riding on a subway in Boston and turning to my cousin and saying, look at all these people, all these nationalities. And I turned to her, a very strong Christian woman, and I said, I can't bear to think that they're going to die and burn in hell. And she turned and looked at me in the most shocked way. And I said, you must just pray every day as you ride into the city and back. And she said, it's never entered my mind. And so it's just, you know, I had been several years learning to live in the presence of God and, you know, meeting cars on the freeways. I mean, sometimes I just want to say, stop, Lord, stop. You know, I can't bear this. But it's just realizing that His presence is everywhere. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And my favorite place, of course, is before Him in His Word, in the quietness alone. But everywhere He wants us to see Him, and everywhere He's made provision for His glory, whether it's pointing out lost or helpless people or ministering or just having fun, you know, you drawing chalk pictures on the sidewalk with the kids. I mean, everywhere God has made provision for His glory. And it's remembering that and remembering that we're always in His presence, mm-hmm. always, always. So, you know, I was taught early on about the early quiet time. Boy, I did it. You know, tell me what to do and I'll follow those three steps. But there's a pride in that. And then God said, it's bigger than that. I'm always there. And I've made provision for my glory everywhere I've placed you. And with doing puzzles with the little kids, you know, teaching women, it doesn't matter. God is there. And our purpose for being there, my purpose, is to glorify Him.
Nancy, you mentioned something. I was looking in my notes here, and I cannot find it, about the Word of God. If we were to really believe it,
yes,
mm-hmm. and live it,
that's right.
Then our lives would be so transformed.
That's
it would
right.
be so different. And I think of that scripture in Romans where it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about quiet times and time with the Lord, as I've grown older, I've had to walk for exercise to keep the weight off. And one thing that motivates me to get out there every day and walk is something I started doing a few years ago, and that's memorizing Psalms, because it's a lot like poetry. It flows. And so I started memorizing different Psalms, and I would motivate myself to walk by taking my little 3x5 cards out on the road with me, mm-hmm. and then I would just kind of quote them and say them over and over. But as I started walking, there's that little jingle or little chorus that goes, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. And that's what started happening. I started having the best quiet times, and I still do with the Lord, when I'm out walking by myself. I'm very selfish about these walks. People have said, oh, let me walk with you. I say, no. I don't tell them why. I just say, I just need to do it alone. It just wouldn't fit into my schedule. But really,
tell you already have a walking partner.
I know. That's right. And I love Him. And so as we walk and as He talks with me, it was just a joyous surprise. I think C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Surprised by Joy, and that's kind of what happened to me out on a walk one day. I was talking to God about a certain situation, and then I started quoting this little 3x5 card psalm, and it ended up, I started praying those very words to God, and before they were just rote memorization, but it became a part of who I was, of what the situation was, about what I wanted to say to the Lord and what He wanted to say to me. And so much of life change now has come to me by memorizing God's Word. And I was told when I was very little in daily vacation Bible school how important it was to memorize the Word of God, but I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have many 3x5 cards, and I walk and I talk, but the Word of God becomes a prayer back to Him, and it's thrilling.
I found that happening myself, even in this study of the book of Habakkuk, because as I've been meditating on the book and studying it, I've ended up memorizing it. And that last verse, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like hinds feet. He makes me tread on my high places. And I found myself just so needing the strength of the Lord, but drawing strength from the scripture that is now in my heart and saying by faith, God, the Lord is my strength. Lord, you are my strength. You make my feet like the deer's. You make me tread on my high places. Going into this recording session, this is a high place for me, a hard place. It's taking more stamina than I have. It's taking more wisdom than I have. But Lord, and the scripture becomes personal that way. So it's not just Habakkuk saying that. It's not just me knowing it in my head. It becomes a part of my actual walk with the Lord.
So many people will say when I ask them, how's their quiet time? Because a lot of times most of the women I talk to are women having some kind of problem. And I'll say, well, how's your quiet time? And they'll say, well, I pray all the time. And then my next question is, well, that's great, but when do you listen? And that's what you're talking about. Your 3x5 cards, you're not just talking to the Lord, you're listening to the Lord, because he's talking back to you through his word. That is how he talks to us and directs us, corrects us through his word. So that's a neat way to do two things at once.
Well, there's a verse in Psalm 94, and it says, when my anxious thoughts consume me. And another version says, when my anxious thoughts multiply
within me.
Within we all know that
verse.
We all know that one.
And then the second part is, thy constellations delight my soul. Mm-hmm. And to me, consolation is what he says, what he promises. And if I haven't been there to know what he's saying, then when my anxious thoughts get carried away and multiply and the stresses and fears of life come and the demons of darkness come in the middle of the night waking me up and I'm fearful, if I don't know God's word, haven't hidden it in my heart through memorizing it, then I'm lost.
There's nothing to counteract those lies. You don't have that truth hidden away. But since you've been doing that,
it can't delight my soul. It can't grab a hold of my life. And I can't have life change. I can't trust.
Right.
Don't just read God's word, but memorize it.
And meditate on it. Mm-hmm.
And it'll come back. Mm-hmm. If we memorize it, I think God's promises, it'll come back to us.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, Kathy. So many of the women I talk to haven't even picked up their Bibles, and they don't understand why they're not getting what they need from the Lord. You know, well, God is just not listening to me. And I thought about Habakkuk being so determined. He got real honest with God. He told him what his questions were, but then he was determined to get in a place where he could hear from God. I think if we're not careful, we put all the blame on God and don't accept responsibility for the fact that God's word is readily available. And I'm sorry, everybody can find time somewhere to get to God. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there are crisis moments where it's just incredibly tough. But you know, unless you're at the deathbed of a loved one or it's a hospital stay or, you know, it's just a crisis moment, there is time in most of our lives.
Actually, it's in those crisis moments that a lot of people do get to God.
And well, then you remember he's there.
Right.
But we are so unprepared for even when those things come, because in the midst of our everyday lives, we forget. It's not that we forget. We know. We just are not desperate enough to hear what God has to say, which means, as Nancy brought out, that we're just dependent on ourselves. And what we have is what we have apart from mm-hmm. Him. And that is so frightening to me, you know.
And we're so feeling-oriented, especially as women, mm-hmm. I think. And what came out to me through this whole session was that Nancy kept saying, it's a choice. It's a choice. And someone once wrote a book, Faith is Not a Feeling.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, faith is not a feeling, but sometimes we're so consumed with our feelings because of the hurt or the pain, whatever is going on in our life, that I like to think of it now as a contrary choice. I have got to go contrary to everything I am when I'm in that situation. And that's hard to do unless I've invested while it's good. I'm walking close with the Lord. And dear Habakkuk, I love you. Because I sat there thinking, you know, this is a Habakkuk conundrum. this is what it is. You know, he's puzzled, he's confused, he's angry, he's at a loss, he feels he's been abandoned, rejected. Where are you, God? And we've all been there. And I want to follow that man. I want to be a Habakkuk and go from my conundrum to where we ended in this little book is faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just wondering, as you talk with other women, why it is that you see women not doing that. Why do women not make that choice? I talked with a gal a couple of weeks ago, and in the course of the conversation, she maybe mentioned 10 other women that she had already shared with what was going on in her life. And when I finally said, have you had time to get to God about this? No, she really hadn't. But she was so quick to get to everybody else. And I just think that's such a dangerous thing to get enough salve on the wound that we don't need to get to God like Habakkuk did.
It comes so naturally, though, to be independent. Mm-hmm. You don't teach a child, you know, to say, I can do it myself. You teach them to share. And I think that's part of it. And it's one of the things, like Kathy had said, that I liked about this book is how real God is with his word. He's so practical. Today, emotions are real, and we as women know that. But what are we going to do with those emotions? Now, he had fear. He had questions. I'm sure Habakkuk had doubts. I mean, he said how long and why. And the emotions are real, but we can't stuff it, deny it, ignore it, or medicate it. We've got to learn to run to God. And I have watched over and over. He allows that pressure to come to remind us we do need him because we tend to be so self-sufficient. I can do this myself. It's just an attitude that we're born with, I really believe. And you have enough of those things in your life happen, you begin to realize you need him. There was a season in our life where an eight-year period, the longest we went without a major crisis was 6 months. I'm talking death, hospitalizations, major accidents, a child nearly dying 3 times in 6 months. I mean, the longest we went with peace was 6 months in 8 years. And yet I would not trade those 8 years for anything in the world because in the midst of that, I learned to run to the Lord. Our whole family did. And you get a glimpse of God when everything else doesn't work, doesn't help, doesn't satisfy. I mean, you need real answers, and you need a real God, and he is there. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. He sits as king forever. That's the verse the Lord gave me beside my 17-year-old son that was unrecognizable. No one even knew that was really him except me and his daddy. He was so injured. And I just sat there, and that is the verse the Lord gave. And that was the beginning of 8 years. Straight, you know, 6 month breather. But big things, lots of deaths, surgeries, accidents, financial loss. I mean, like, how much, how long, Lord, and why? And he was there and he was enough. And you have a few experiences like that in life, and you can sing with Habakkuk at the end. And there are seasons of that. I mean, that's not the only time, but you have a good season of it. You begin to realize God is enough, and he doesn't mind those honest questions. We were waiting once, even before that season, when we felt God had led us to adopt, even though our first two children were 13 and 15. And everyone thought we were crazy, but we really felt that God said there were specific children. It wasn't like I wanted a baby or we didn't have a son or didn't have a daughter. You know, we wanted this or that. And we were waiting, and it took 18 months. It only takes 9 months to have a baby biologically. I mean, this was too long. And the social workers kept changing. And anyway, a friend of mine that had a lot of courage took me to lunch one day, and I was just complaining, like you said, whining and whining. And she leaned over to me, and she said, Maria, you are not waiting on a social worker, and you are not waiting on children, and you're not waiting for your house to sell, and you're not waiting to buy a bigger house, you know, because you're going to have all these more kids. She said, you are waiting on the Lord. Now, we were at a restaurant with a server, they call them now. What does a waiter or a waitress do? They wait for you to signal, nod, gesture to them, and they come to you. That's my picture the Lord gave me in that second. that I was to wait like a servant on the Lord. And he would nod and he would gesture when he wanted me to go or stay or left or right. And I'll never forget that. I mean, that, you know, we're waiting on the Lord. And that's what Habakkuk did. He waited till God answered him.
That's Maria Johnson. We also heard from Kim Wagner and Holly Eliff, and we heard from Kathy Helvey, who's now with the Lord. These women listened as Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth delivered a teaching series called Habakkuk, Moving from Fear to Faith. Today's conversation was a follow-up exploration about what this teaching looks like practically, day to day. One listener wrote to us about this series, and she said, "I feel like God spoke to me through each of you at some point. I've just begun to rise early and spend time with the Lord, and have found how much easier it is to pray my way through the day. Things just don't bother me when I turn to God first." Thank you all, and thanks for this study on Habakkuk. On Revive Our Hearts, we're committed to rightly handling God's Word and showing you how to live it out in practical ways. The ministry's possible thanks to listeners who make donations. When you support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount, we'll send you the book by Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth titled Choosing Forgiveness. It's a helpful guide showing you how to embark on your journey toward true freedom. Just ask about it when you contact us to make your donation. You can do that at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. We expect questions and answers to go together. We even have a name for it, Q&A. But sometimes questions exist without answers. And that can be really good too. Find out why tomorrow as we again hear from a group of friends on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth wants you to run to the Lord and savor freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.